Our country is more divided than ever before, and not just between those who put pineapple on their pizza.
There's members on both sides of the aisle who are more interested in making noise than they are about governing.
From the committee rooms to this floor, we commit to pursue the truth passionately.
There's a mic right there, and that's a damn short walk.
It's why people don't trust people like you, because you peddle false narratives. And so we disabuse you of those narratives.
We must all hang together, Benjamin Franklin said, or assuredly we will all hang separately.
Previously on Dakota Town Hall.
And we'll be we'll be joined by Majority Leader Will Mortensen here in a second.
And somebody told me, hey, the statute that you're passing about common carriers of commodities, that's going to be used for this project. They'd like slap you in the face. They'd say, no, that's not what that's used for, right? Like, I mean, that's a bastardization of the intent of that statute. So for all those reasons, this thing didn't really pass the smell test to me. But I want to make clear, I don't think these guys shouldn't be able to do this project.
Mr. Dan Patterson back on the show this week.
Like, the problem is also kind of nuanced. The problem with media is nuance. There isn't one entity called media. There is, however, attention. And if we look at media as the acquisition of attention, or just stuff you want to click on that grabs your attention, that's really the commodity that has value, your attention and your time. And there are ways to trick you into giving your attention to one particular entity or another. Like, the problem is also kind of nuanced.
Welcome to Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's weekly political podcast.
Coming into Memorial Day, happy holiday weekend, everybody. It is South Dakota's premier political podcast. Thank you for listening to Dakota Town Hall. So today we've got a slightly different style of show. Jake is out. He is doing a lot of you listeners probably know this, but every year Jake and his old man Lee Schoenbeck of South Dakota political fame do some annual golf trip. This year they're in Wisconsin, so he is out. And then Noah is actually, I want to say he is starting working on in Thune's office this summer. And so he's out in D.C., so it is just me. But we've got loaded up guests. Today we're going to talk to Dan Ehlers. He has just been crowned the new executive director of the South Dakota Democratic Party. And joining me in studio, my dear friend, we go back over a decade now,
yeah,
Casey Phillips from the Hereford Agency. He is. Is it fair to call you a Republican strategist?
I don't like the word strategist, but I guess most people would
say consultant. That
about me. Sure, yeah, consultant.
Okay, very good.
Campaign guy.
Guy who knows how to win a lot of elections and has had a pretty good and successful history. He is also the director of a movie that is. Back fitting into this state, the city of Baltic is doing a mayoral recall. That mayor won by a tie. Casey has a movie called Win, Lose, or Draw Straws. So we'll get into that as well. That's the show. Let's bring in Dan first. Dan Ehlers, who we actually met. Which race were you running when we first interviewed each other? Do you remember?
It was the U.S. Senate race in 2020.
That's right. That was you and Rounds, and that's when we were doing that. Running during COVID. What was that like?
Well, that was a blast. If you told me that was, and I mean that in a joking way, because if you had told me that was what was going to happen when I got into it, COVID has completely led to a completely different environment and not the style of campaigning that I'm used to. I'm that door-to-door, I want to meet people and talk to them and have meaningful conversations, and COVID made that extremely difficult.
Yeah, that and a bunch of other things. Well, so you know, we've talked about it on this show, just to be blunt and get into it. You know, we've often kind of kicked around. So if somebody made a magic wand and said, you're the new executive director of the Democratic Party, what would you do? You are the one person in the state who actually gets to answer that question now. So magic wand, you're the new executive director. What's first?
Well, I think, you know, for me, it's just getting out and visiting with the current stakeholders, the people that are in office, the county parties, and really starting to build a network out. I think what needs to change here in South Dakota is the Democratic Party needs stronger county parties. When they talk about grassroots party building, that's where it begins. And those are the people at the local level that know who how to recruit candidates. They know who the likable people are and the people that might be interested in running. So we're going to start there and we're going to move out.
You know, we've had a lot of conversations when we get to like kind of primary season, right? One of the notes we always talk about, and you know, I'd invite Casey into this as well, who's born and raised in South Dakota and understands the field. It's unfair to, I guess I've never been a Democratic political operative, but it always seems like the nag I have on the party is it seems like they are overreaching. Meaning, it sure seems like in the Democratic Party, it'd take a real pragmatist approach to go, okay, we're not going to go win 15 races, but we could win 4 if we get after these 4. And every time I say that, I kind of get an answer back where that doesn't make sense. But maybe any of you guys want to weigh in.
Well, South Dakota is getting a little more metropolitan than it was when I was growing up, so I think there's probably some opportunities for them, but they have to. They have to look very hard and maybe figure out who our new arrivals are and all that stuff and model them out. I think that, you know, I don't want to give any tips or tricks to the South Dakota Democratic Party, but
come on, they need a
now,
few.
Yeah, but now we have there's basically two Republican parties and they're at war, so you can definitely have a chance to pick up some pieces here and there. I would assume he would agree.
Yeah, I think Casey's right, and it's all right, Casey. You can give me a few tips because a lot of my former Republican colleagues in the legislature said, Dan, you need to build a stronger Democratic Party. We need some help. So
well, we need someone to fight against, so it's not ourselves.
Well, that right. I do think that's where the Republican Party is interesting, right? Casey puts it in an interesting way. The Republican Party is fighting amongst itself more than it is the Democratic parties. I think oftentimes you see in peer the Democrats are not in the fight of Republican and Democrat, so they're just trying to simply put get some things done.
Yeah, and you know, I worked in the legislature for 6 years. We never had, you know, like stellar numbers, but there are opportunities to work with our Republican colleagues to get things done, which I always think is important. I mean, that's the stuff that doesn't get highlighted enough, and I think that those opportunities are there. Having a few more Democrats in elected office, no matter where it's at, I think can bring a better product for everyone all around because you get a sharing of ideas. And out of that has to come a compromise. And in those compromises, not everybody's happy, but usually you get a better product. You get something that's more reflective of the people of South Dakota. If you look at what the Democrats have stood for historically, you're looking at a fair wage, good work environments, government transparency, and affordable health care, access to affordable health care. These are all things that the people of South Dakota have passed on ballot measures. When it couldn't get done in the legislature, it started to go to these ballot measures, and they're getting passed. And I think there's a lot of Republicans that support those ideas, too. It's the nuances that we need to work through and find our areas of agreement. That's what I did when I was in the legislature. That's why I was able to have success as a legislator in passing bills and different things, because what I was working on, I think we all had in common. It was just the nuances.
I can hear that. So let me ask this then. You know, you pull the South Dakotans, kind of take it out of party, and you'll generally ask them, what do you think of the National Democratic Party? You'll get a wild list of answers. But, you know, it points out to one of the things I think the South Dakota Party has to struggle with is a real disconnection between the South Dakota Democratic Party and the national ticket or the cable news version of the national ticket.
I was just going to say that. The South Dakota Democrats have never been the problem.
No.
You know, it's definitely not. It's just it's the national brand right now. So when I grew up in Hereford where there was, you know, there's like 15 total families. And I think it was about half and half. And over my lifetime, you know, Democrat's basically a bad word in where I come from.
Yeah.
So it's just rural people, and the national agenda is not vibing right now.
I feel like I got to give you a shot to answer that before I throw my own take on my own question.
Well, yeah, I think that we have to be better at branding ourselves and getting the message out there. And that's something that we haven't done as well in the past. And I think there are some opportunities to do that. Today's media market is really different. You know, it used to be some TV commercials, maybe a mailer, a couple newspaper ads, it got the job done. That's not the case anymore. So really the challenge is reaching people where they're at and setting a good example. You know, you have to be able to show action. I just don't want to talk about things. I want people to be able to see things, because that's how people's minds change. That's how I was able to get elected in a very conservative district three different times, because it's a Republican district, but it's people seeing me for who I am. And that's what I want to do for the South Dakota Democratic Party.
Do the Democrats have we talked about this a few episodes ago. It feels like the Democrats in this state have a real opportunity to kind of take advantage of some of the disconnects inside of our cabinet this year with Noam as our governor. I guess I leave that as bait for you to take as far as you want.
Clarify that a little more.
Some of the Republicans that are fighting with Noam and some of the House and Senate guys that maybe had a disconnect with Noam during the session, the $200 million getting chunked out another season, Westra and other cabinet folks having to get shown the door or walking out on their own. It just seems like a real lack of cohesiveness comparatively to like Dugard or Rounds cabinets and administrations. And one of the things we've been kicking around on this show is that if that can be an opportunity for the Democrats upcoming.
Well, I think so. I think it's an opportunity to work across party lines. You know, I'm not a hyper partisan person who's now in a very partisan position, but I still believe that part of the equation is being able to work across party lines. And one of the ways of doing that is capitalizing on maybe some of the infighting to be able to get some Democratic gains to support Democratic issues, but also issues that are favorable to some of the more moderate Republicans. I do think there's opportunities there. I'm disappointed in the dysfunctionality that's going on within the departments of Noam's administration, because that impacts the services. So outside of, you know, any political enjoyment one might get from watching that kind of dysfunctionality, at the heart of it, the people that are hurt are the citizens of South Dakota, because they're not getting the services that their tax dollars are paying for.
You guys have, I mean, we're talking, you've been on the gig for maybe 72 hours here, but you probably haven't had any time to identify any statewide races or any early candidates, ideas. Is Billy Sutton going to make his glorious return? Or are you guys going to get Herseth out of the Augustana system? Like, where are we heading?
Well, there's definitely a couple people on the radar. Billy is he's got a very new family, some young ones at home, and I think he's comfortable where he's at.
Yeah, he gives us the same answer.
I don't foresee him coming out of retirement, if you want to call it that. Quite yet. He's got a real good thing going with his Leadership Institute and really doing something very valuable in helping bring new leaders up in South Dakota and getting them the experience they need, teaching them how to be good community leaders involved. So he's got a lot of good things going there. I really doubt that Stephanie Herseth-Sandlin is coming away from the gig that she's at. She seems a real nice fit for my alma mater at Augustana.
Mine too. Mine
too. Yeah, two on the phone. Right on. That's awesome. Good.
Look at how much we have in common.
Yeah, I took her class when she was a professor there.
Right on.
Yeah. Sorry. Keep going. Sorry.
That's funny. Well, two Augie grads. Well,
what about Brendan? You gonna be able to bring him back?
I don't know that he's ever really expressed any interest in that.
He's always had the ability to be everybody's favorite candidate without ever having to run.
He's the best. He's one of my favorite people.
Well, I'll tell him you said that, Casey. I think I'm going to be visiting with him.
A bunch
tomorrow.
Of Republicans. I want you to announce.
Yeah.
No, I didn't say that. I just said I liked him. I don't want to have to run against him.
It's all right if I embellish a little bit, right?
So let's talk about East River and West River politics. Like, I bluntly put it this way. I don't even know, outside of Rapid City and a few spots here and there, if there is a West River Democratic Party in some counties. Is it more valuable to look in districts like 14 or 32 where they're a little more purple, or is it more valuable long term to get out into Newell and Harding County and that kind of stuff? Like, you're from that area a little bit. I'll ask both of you this.
You want to go first, Casey?
Well, I think you got to go wherever you think you can find. I say my grandpa always said, "Make hay while the sun shines."
Yeah.
Right. You can get a fish where the fish are. So I would say they got to look at all the purple seats that they can, and especially, like I said earlier, study all of our new arrivals, find out where they might be settling, where they might be at politically, where they might not be completely dug in. But I mean, I would be surprised if the Democrats can compete in, you know, Lemon or,
certainly.
Or, you know. Yeah. So I would think that cowboy country is probably currently conservative, but hasn't always been that way. I mean, they've always been conservative people, but they've, you know, you could compete a few years ago, so I'm sure it's not off the table.
Sure.
But if I was going to spend my money and time, if I was the Democrats, I'd be spending it in the more metropolitan and educated areas around Sioux Falls, I would think.
Yeah.
Well, and I'd have to agree. You want to look at the areas that are that can be the most competitive, and your focus certainly should be there. I grew up West River, so I spent a little time in Rapid City as a kid.
I didn't know that.
Canyon Lake Elementary.
Ah, boy, good ass, good egg.
Our Lady of Perpetual Help, which is, I think, St. Mary Seton or something.
Yep, that sounds right.
Yeah, I like that name better than Our Lady of Perpetual Help. That sounds like I had
sounds
a problem.
Like getting rulers in the hand.
It sounds like I was really getting some help, right? And then I lived in Gillette, Wyoming for a number of years before I moved back my senior year to Del Rapids.
We call that extra West River.
That's extra West River. Campbell County Camels, I'll
there
tell you.
There you go, Campbell County Camels.
There you go.
Shout out to Chancey Williams.
So, I mean, I think that I don't think we want to just give up on areas because we don't see the potential to win immediately. I think that we need to open up the communication. We need to find the right candidates to run in those areas.
I do think that's probably the hardest.
Not every
charge.
Democrat looks the same.
Yeah.
You know, Orrin Lesmeister is not Aaron Healy, who's not Reynold Nesiba.
another one of my old professors.
Understatement of the millennium on this podcast.
Oh my gosh. Yep.
Reynold also gives me a bad time for never taking one of his classes, Casey. So it's all right.
Oh, well, I'll just say you didn't miss much. Just kidding. Sorry, Professor Nesiba.
He's on vacation in Italy right now. Don't worry about it.
So I think that's all pretty good. I think that all makes sense. You're both right. You know, you got to go where you can win because that's the charge. But I just think there's something. I'll put it this way, right? A lot of people historically forget, and you don't have to go back that far. Like, a lot of eastern South Dakota were Kennedy, McKellips Catholics, right? And they were inches away from beating Janklow once.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Like that's and now you're right, like a Democrat to that group is can be to some of them a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
But well, it seems like it's an eternity ago where they were just Kennedy Catholic Democrats, but it's not really.
Well, it's the Scandinavian influence in the
that's true.
Eastern South Dakota. So you've got like the Finns. I mean, Finns are basically socialists, but then right. I mean,
sure, I'll take it.
So,
getting into some European history in this show. We ain't done that
it's
yet.
Yeah, it's like weird. It's like my dad, I went to Stockholm for the first time. My dad said, "What's it like?" I said, "I think it's Duluth." Right? Like it's
with better beer.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, I think ancestrally, these folks are, you know, are lean one way, and then I think that they've moved. But if you look at heat maps around the country, you know, you can see that where those settlements are, and especially like kind of that northeastern Wisconsin area,
mm-hmm.
that was all Finns and Finnish farmers. You can tell by the barns when you get there. And that was old school Democrat territory forever until Trump came along. And then he blew the doors off up there.
Like
now
real old school religious conservative Democrats.
Now we've got
fire and brimstone Democrats. Mm-hmm. You don't have a lot of them fire and brimstone Democrats anymore, man.
Well, I think it's because, you know, some of them feel like the party's left them.
Yeah.
And we're not speaking to them. And you know, I think sometimes Democrats in the Midwest feel like that about the National Party at times, like you feel a little forgotten about. But I think that's where the conversations come in. That's when you have to be out there talking to people. You know, the way Dick Knipe won my grandfather's vote. So what a lot of people don't know is almost my entire family is Republican, and I'm the Democrat. So take that to Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner. Dick Knipe, my dad always tells the story of Dick Knipe coming to the family farm in just north of Del Rapids. And he sold farming equipment, and he was talking to my grandpa and said, "I'm going to run for governor. Would you vote for me?" And he said, "I will." So I think that it's, if we make it about people, if we stay focused on the things that are important, if we're listening, the most important thing is listening and having good conversation. I think that there is the possibility of a shift. You know, I don't know that South Dakota ever becomes a blue state, and that's fine. I want to see a successful Democratic Party is one that can have a positive impact on South Dakota, that can do good things for South Dakota. You think about when Dashiell Johnson and Hirsess Sandlin were in office, all the good things that happened for South Dakota. Meanwhile, we had a Republican governor and a Republican state legislature. I don't think it can be a little of both, but you look at the big infrastructure projects like Lewis and Clark. I mean, without a Dashiell or Johnson, would we have had the kind of funding that we had for that kind of project? You know, those are the types of people that went to bat for us and were really listening, and it didn't matter that they were Democrats. The people trusted what they had to say, and they did their job. And I do think that there are opportunities. I don't ever think that we're going to be I don't think that we're going to be a blue state, at least not in our lifetime. That would take a major shift.
Boy, would
Falls,
it.
Sioux Falls and Rapid City would have to get really big.
Real blue.
So I operate in the reality. I think Casey pointed out too, you go where you know the fish are at, and you give your pitch and may the best argument win in the end.
His name is Dan Ehlers. He's the new executive director of the South Dakota Democratic Party. I think they definitely got the right person for the gig. Thanks for coming on, sir. We appreciate it, and we'll have you back on again.
Always. Love the show.
Nice to meet you, Dan.
Nice to meet you too, Casey.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
You too.
Giving some Democrats some hints there, Casey. That's nice.
I wanted to wish him limited amounts of luck.
Right? just a touch.
Just a little bit.
Just an ounce.
Yeah.
They need a little bit of luck. They need it sounds so stupid, but I'm constantly telling Republicans, like, if they were just a little more successful, it'd be really good for you guys. Like, it'd be really good. We wouldn't be spending all of our time with Phil Jensen and Julie Freimuller's breast milk if we would just had a little bit more of a Democratic Party.
If you had somebody to fight against.
Reasonably have debates with. Mm-hmm. So his name is Casey Phillips. The company he runs is called the Hereford Agency. Can we, you have a real fascinating history. Do you mind if we kind of talk about that a little bit?
Sure, whatever you want.
So, like, Casey grew up outside of New Underwood.
Yeah, north of New Underwood on the Belfouche River.
And ranch family. And let's see. I remember running into you with Paul Gorley. This is going back over 20 years in the South Dakota College Republicans. But you were a University of Wyoming student.
Yep.
And ended up at Augie.
Yep. I played high school football in Sturgis and was able to get an opportunity to play at the University of Wyoming for a couple of years. And that's when I got there. Everything was great. We were 10-1 and went to a bowl game. And then the next year, our coach left and the program kind of fell apart. People they brought in really went out and tried to find JUCO people and didn't want to play the guys that the other guys had recruited. So I started looking around and I called State and Augie, and Augie made me the best deal. And so I threw my saddle back in my truck and came back to South Dakota.
And that's where you got into politics? You got into politics at Augie.
Yeah, I got into politics at
for
Augie.
For Thune?
Well, I started out my first campaign, I was a volunteer for Steve Kirby for governor.
Wow. Yeah, you were on the Kirby gubernatorial.
Well, I mean, I don't on it. I was a guy who was like putting up signs. Because,
sure.
Yeah,
okay, but like, got to start somewhere.
They needed a West River rancher who knew how to pound in a post and put up the signs, right? Like, this was a Sioux Falls-based campaign with a venture capitalist. You know,
A lot of people don't remember that it was Kirby, Barnett, and Rounds.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Kirby and Barnett got so vitriolic with each other, it's kind of what got Rounds through the primary.
Oh, it was a murder-suicide.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a planned thing. They just both decided they hated each other so much that they would kill each other off and make sure both people ran each other's negatives up over 50 and sort of handed it over to Mike Rounds.
It was crazy. That hasn't
centered around.
That hasn't happened in, I mean, that's the last time that's happened here like that, at least.
Oh, I go around the country and people talk about it all the time. And
yeah.
They say, well, what happens if this third place candidate can shoot the gap like Mike Rounds? Like, it's like, it's basically called Roundsing.
Which is my God, Rounding.
Yeah, yeah. Among the political establishment, everybody knows about the race. Everyone has swatched
it.
It's, it only can really happen in primaries.
Yeah, right. It can't do it. You can't do pull it off in a general.
So you have to be sitting in the right spot and everybody like you and run, you know, happy newspaper ads. And then the other two people commit murder, suicide, and boom.
And think about that, too. That led to two gubernatorial terms, and now he's on how many he can run for Senate
as long as he feels like it,
and it doesn't feel like anyone will really disrupt that. The rumor now is he's going to come back and run for governor. You got any?
That's amazing.
No rumors. You don't wildly speculate at all?
I had not heard anything about that.
In the wild speculation of it all that, you know, this is all, no one wants to really commit to us being a source of it all. So this is all like, here's what I'm hearing speculation, but Dusty's going to run no matter what. And Rounds is really thinking about it. And even if Rounds announces, it'll be a Dusty Johnson, Mike Rounds primary, which will be a little tight.
Well, I'll be staying in Alexandria, Virginia.
Okay. So
both of them are good friends. So I wouldn't even know.
I don't think either one of them have a lot of negativity campaign in them too. Right. Like, I don't mind a nice gutter washing Republican primary where you don't hate any of the people. We could use a little bit of that once in a while.
Well, that doesn't seem to happen like
no,
ever,
but no. I feel like it could in this state a little, maybe not. It'll probably get to be a war on both houses probably.
Yeah. Well, when you go to your client with a poll like 10 days out and you're not winning,
that you'll do about anything.
You say, hey, so here's this idea. We're going to take this person's head off, and then we're going to win. And so it's like, hey, would you like to be elected, or would you like to win? Not?
Yeah. Do you remember when it was Rounds, Pressler, and I don't remember who the Democratic candidate was. No. There was one more independent candidate, and Pressler was the Democrat. This was 2012-ish, maybe.
Yeah.
2014-ish. It was maybe his first Senate Earth race. And remember when Kello put out that goofy poll that showed like Pressler was up in the 30s?
Yeah.
And the National Republican Party, they probably called you to do it.
They did.
Dropped a Brinks truck of media in South Dakota.
That was me. Yes. Yes. That was our, sir.
So here's our idea at
the
time.
They called me and they were like, oh boy.
Larry Pressler can't win. Yes. He was never really going to win. That was a poll release to generate advertising dollars, I think.
Well, they got it.
Allegedly. But here was our idea at the time. We wanted, in fact, we just let this domain go like 2 years ago. We bought, excuse my French, we bought LarryEffenPressler.com, and our ad campaign idea, we never got to pitch it to him, but we were going to be like, listen, you're for the first time, cool. Lean into it and be like, I'm Larry F. and Pressler, and I'm here. But he, you know, didn't really have that in him.
No, that doesn't sound like Larry.
Doesn't sound like Larry.
Which is sort of the part of the genius of it, right?
A little.
Right?
Yeah. Like a year later, I ran into him on the street, and I'm like, the senator, this was our idea. And he's like, I don't know if I ought to win for that. Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so on the Kirby campaign, you get into politics.
Yeah.
And then...
caught the bug, man.
So one of the things here's why I find you a real interesting political guest. I don't think people realize, and it's probably a lot different than now than it used to be. But like, why I admire Casey is Casey was like, oh, I have an interest in this. And it turns out no one's really making great videos and I'm good at it. And all of a sudden this giant company gets started where I think most people would go, well, I wouldn't be able to go do that. And then it's probably not fair to say, but what seemed like out of the blue, all of a sudden, it's National Governors Association and big national campaigns and big statewide campaigns and big names like big name. I don't want to name drop you a little.
Okay. I'll name drop a little bit. So I think what you're getting at is I would take issue with the first thing you said, which is that nobody was making good video. There's a lot of people making good video. The problem is there's an absolute unquenchable a thirst for a good video.
I guess I would disagree a little at the time. There was maybe 10 of you guys at the time that were doing that style and a little more aggressive and a little more fighty and a little more real, and certainly oftentimes a little funny.
Yeah, but there's still only 10 of us.
No kidding.
Yeah, there's 200 firms that do this.
Sure.
There's only 10, like,
really that are doing ones. Like you're yeah. doing. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I can hear that then.
Yeah, yeah. But
But my point is a little this. This isn't something you grew up at 10 years old going, I'm going to be one of the best political strategists in the country.
No. I assumed that I was always going to be fixing fence.
you still will end up back
I'm still fence. Well, I still yeah. fixed some yesterday. I mean, earlier today I was trying to catch an unbranded calf and pull it in and do a one-man branding. You know, I threw everything in my truck after the first or the Thune race versus Dashiell or versus Johnson, excuse me, that we lost. And I basically worked with people I'd met on that race or all around the country. So I worked on three different campaigns in Texas, Virginia, and then Louisiana. And then I came back to Augie, finished, graduated. Then I got a chance to run my first campaign in Southwest Virginia. So I went down there to Wytheville. Wytheville. That's actually where I met my wife. She was at the college. It was 20 miles down the road. But she blew me off for 3 years, which definitely
You're a big-ass dude. It's a little intimidating looking, too.
So then I got a chance to run a congressional in Texas and a statewide in Mississippi. And then I went to work for the National Republican Party, the NRCC. I went there to the RSLC, which is the state legislative stuff.
I think around then, when we kind of cooked it back in, you were with Christie, maybe?
Governor Christie. Yeah. So that was that was like 2013 in his reelection, I believe.
Okay.
So that'd be my second cycle as a media vendor. Basically, I started my company as a general strategy company. And our first, one of my first candidates could not afford a political commercial. I called everybody I knew that was making them, and they said, "Hey, this is the quote." And so then I came back to him and said, "We can't do it. Our budget's only this. We can't make one." And he looked at me in the eye and said, "Hey, Casey, it's Mississippi Ag Commissioner. There ain't but two issues. Right? Like, can't you and I write
a
script?"
Figure this out
and I
a
said,
little.
No. This is a very specific, very high end, you know, these guys make a ton of money because no one knows how to do this political ad making thing." And to his credit, he just said, "I don't believe you. Find somebody with a camera and you and I are going to write a script." And we did. And that ad won, you know, ad of the year.
I think that ad was good. Also, maybe for those of you back in the state, if you want to be familiarized with work, I would say you'll disagree with this a little, but I think a big chunk of the reason why Larry Roden is our lieutenant governor is because you helped him with his campaign against Mike Rounds.
Well, I mean, Larry's my neighbor, so you know, we made the bull ad.
The bull ad.
Obama's bull.
Obama's yeah. bull ad. That is probably, that might be the ad that might be the most recognizable around here, to the politicos at least. It's a little funny, a little smart. It showcased Mr. Roden in the light that he is, you know.
Unfortunately, it was like 40-mile-an-hour winds up on top of Belfish River Breaks with a borrowed Hereford bull from the ranch down the road, and you know, we had three guys and a camera and one bounce and a bull that was not really happy. It was
bull
one of those
is not
ads
known for being camera ready all the time.
Yeah,
yeah.
But that's my philosophy in advertising, right? Like, you don't need a lot. You need a little bit of it's. I'm like a country musician, right? Three chords and the truth. Like, if you have a bull and an authentic person and something to say. Well, then what? You don't need fancy camera tricks or the giant crew. You just need honesty.
I also think we were talking about this a little bit before the show started, you know, just in our business a bit. When the equipment got cheap, you could make these things for nothing, and then production budgets went to nothing, and then you add a decade to that, and you see everybody's incredibly boring, "Hi, my name is Ted and I'm here for you," and like that just doesn't cut through anything. You're the phone book at that point. So I that's where I think your ads carry a lot of their weight, is they, you know, you just, when was the last time you want to memorably remember a political ad?
It's just
tough to get that into the zeitgeist.
Well, that's why you need the bull.
That's why you need the bull.
No, so I mean, I did a big U.S. Senate race in North Carolina last year for Ted Budd, now U.S. Senator Ted Budd. I've been with him since his first special election to Congress. And I wrote a script that called for two monster trucks, a marching band, and a trained bald eagle.
Now I remember this.
Yeah, yeah. So but they cut my budget for the eagle, but I wanted it to land on his arm with a I'm Ted Budd and then the screech land.
We could have figured that out with Reptile Gardens. Message.
I know. We'll see. They said, hey, it's going to be too hard to get a bald eagle this fast. Turns out you can, but I found this. You know, they said, hey, we want to do the monster truck thing. We're worried you can't get one. And I found a Facebook group called the Monster Truck Used Parts Swap Meet. And I said, listen, I don't know everything, but I know rednecks. And I know somewhere some rednecks
got a monster truck.
And their wife is mad.
To do this.
Yeah, that was, yes. Is mad that it's not doing anything. And so I posted, I have a budget and I need a monster truck at this fairgrounds in North Carolina. In 2 weeks, and I thought my phone was going to melt down. Like people were just blowing me up. They're bidding against each other. People
trying to
saying,
get in their monster
yeah, they
truck.
Wanted to get their truck in.
Oh, my
in.
God. I love that.
So, yeah, monster trucks, flamethrowers, bald eagles, bulls. You know, it's sometimes you got to have a little bit of fun in this business. Otherwise, you are boring.
I do think that there's a little razzle-dazzle sizzle in this. I mean, there's a line, and it's hard. I'm going to talk about politics, but, like, it's hard to get people to eat their broccoli, man. A little bit of sugaring or hurt anybody. Let's talk about this. We've got a mayoral recall vote happening in Baltic, or it's in the courts. There might be. I don't quite know what's going on. This is more East River Ding Dongs thing. But, like, the mayor that's in it, has been in the last mayoral election. It was a tie, and I want to say they rock, paper, scissored for the win. You directed a movie a few years back called Win, Lose, or Draw Straws.
Yeah, that was my baby.
And it's about exactly what we're talking about here, municipal and county and whatever elections.
Any elections, basically, they ended a perfect tie.
So kind of how did you stumble onto this? How did this become your baby?
Well, we were actually sitting around and said, what would happen? Because we had a 50-50 race we were working on. So what would happen if they were to tie? And somebody at the meeting goes, I think they flip a coin. And then I thought, well, that's not
insanely
really
anti-American.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? So then I remember, then it was the time for Bernie and Hillary in Iowa, and they tied like 12 times, you know, and they were out there flipping coins, and there was all this video. So I just scoured the internet, got the video, found the people on Facebook or whatever, started calling them, said, hey, like, would you do an interview with me? Like, I'm super interested in this, the way that they would break ties in elections. And then I started, you know, researching around the internet and finding out that all the states do it differently. There's no uniform scenario. And then you look at the Electoral College, that could tie.
That could tie.
And then there's a way for Iowa to be the deciding factor. There could be a 269 to 269 tie with Iowa out. And Iowa's laws say if they tied, you flip a coin. So it's feasible you could flip a coin for who's the president of the United States.
It's just and like if you would have heard that phrase, I don't know, 15, 12, 10 years ago, yeah. Pre-COVID a little, right? Pre-2016 a little, you'd be like, I can't believe that would even be in the remote possibility. Now here in 2023, that doesn't sound like you're shooting the moon.
Yeah, we're shockingly divided as a country, and that's unfortunate, but that's where we are. And so you're getting more and more close elections, and you're getting more and more ties. And then when the ties happen, it's kind of stunning that you kind of throw democracy completely out the window and just leave it up to chance, which is, to me, kind of one of the more interesting things when I got to interview these people is their stance on luck and destiny varies very greatly on whether or not they won the game of chance.
Keep going on that. Will you keep?
So all the people who won believe that it was, you know, basically.
Of course,
the system works.
Divine providence.
Yes, and it was the universe's will, right, or God's will, or whatever.
God's will, like people, catching a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
And the people who lost don't feel the same way.
Sure.
So I just thought that was interesting little look into human nature and understanding because everyone who runs for office, and I'm sure Dan would agree, dude, they're putting everything into it, right?
Everything.
They're putting themselves out there and working their butts off and.
Yeah,
and sometimes that's when I, you know, when I've got to go, you know, burn somebody down, I feel, you know, that's why I have to go volunteer, you know, like after the election.
feel it a little bit.
Yeah, they're like, here's an opposition research book on this grandpa of 14 who has like one speeding ticket. Go
get him.
Go take him out.
Go get him, Casey.
You know?
I like that you feel, you know, I'll say this. I can tell you've matured now that you've had kids and stuff. Because, like, old Casey would have been like, ah, this is how you do. You just got to get them.
Well, you do have to get them.
Look at you maturing.
I'm a business, not a cause.
I like it.
Yeah. So.
One of the things I've always kind of liked about you in the best way, I don't mean it in an insult, is you can separate. You know, you and I, we wildly differ on things here and there. But, like, we've always been able to sit and not really, you know, When you like the dude and you get along, and Dan's a good example, it's not really about the Democrat's an asshole or whatever, right? And so, like, that's what I like about you. You've always been able to be in this incredibly, at times, toxic business and keep a pretty decent good egg head about you. I just don't know if that happens in a lot of these circles. You get two decades in, you're just so jaded, you're cynical, you just hate all of this, you know?
Yeah, that's true. There are a lot of people I work with are very jaded, but there's also wonderful people too in the industry, and there's bad people as well. There's people that are coming out there trying to empty the campaign's bank accounts, flip the candidate over and shake them and get everything last nickel out of them.
There's a group of people. Listen, this is, take it for what you will, right? But if you don't think there's 15 people in D.C. who think they can go make millions off getting Chrissy Noman to the Senate, mm-hmm. that's a whole industry that exists.
Of course it okay. is. I'm part of the industry. I'm just, you know,
it's
a $9 billion a cycle industry, which is completely insane.
So you live in Virginia.
Part-time here,
part-time there.
Yep.
So that's perfect. Have a way to set this up. What do you see where you live outside of South Dakota, where you see politics being similar, and then what do you see in our differences? Like, what a South Dakota politicos don't know based on their lack of perspective in politics elsewhere?
Well, I think they should all come out and do some races with me in different places, but everywhere is different and everywhere is the same. If I make
okay.
sense, right?
Like, a little bit. Yeah, keep
so,
going.
I mean, the basic way that people are motivated, a lot of it is about the future and their kids and their worldview and how close they live to other people, things like that. So I tell people all the time, I'm like, if you're a really rich guy, you don't value a single dollar as much. If you live around 10 million people, you don't value the person next to you as much. And South Dakota is incredibly tight-knit, right? So you can't really compare it to a super urban area. Right, because this just doesn't have the same sort of value system. Now, for me, all of the sort of states that are about the same size population-wise are very similar. So, like, you'd be stunned how similar South Dakota is to Vermont.
Sure.
Right? Stunned. Except for they're, like, gun-toting socialists over there. And they're all, because it's small population, they're all more into for each other. It's also Scandinavian, but they love their guns, but they have Bernie Sanders, right? Like, and South Dakota, you know, has gone through a political change over the last, 20 years from having three Democrats in Washington to zero,
yeah.
to 11 total in Pierre. And that's just something that we've happened. But, you know, you see like Montana was there before we were, but now they're more purple because they're taking in more residents and people are coming from California.
That's going to happen here too, but it'll have a slightly different deal. I don't know East River as much, but I assume those are probably bluer people moving in. But there's 12 people moving to the hills a day right now, generally speaking, and 2/3 of them are over 65. And so if you know, they're also the South Dakota. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican or like Chrissy Noem or hate Chrissy Noem, one of the things you have to understand is, you know, the $10 million they spent on tourism ads on Fox News, and then every time she goes on there and shoots her guns in the air, people move here because of it. That is happening. And those people aren't Bernie Sanders gun toters.
No,
right?
They're not.
Like, and especially in that 65 and up group. That brings a lot of benefits, that brings a lot of positives, but it also brings a dangerous thing politically for when you look at what's going to happen for a bunch of 38-year-old Republicans 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, we've got some Californians that moved into Hereford, basically.
Really?
Yeah, and, you know, we're excited to have them, but we don't know. I think they're basically preppers, and they're probably more right-wing than even we are, which is wild. So you're like,
I think they're okay. split.
And I'm a prepper myself. Like, my mom has a year of food on hand at all
you're
times.
You're the good kind of prepper, though.
I've got ammo for years.
Again, but, the good kind of prepper.
Yeah, okay. But so that was the thing that if you're willing to move to Western South Dakota to prove a point,
you're dedicated.
You're dedicated.
Yeah.
And so the weather's might not run you off.
Now there's, and not everyone's moving here because they want to be diehard super drummers, right? I think we equally get, and this is probably more in municipalities and not the ranch, right? But like, we'll get a bunch of people who are conservative. They didn't move out here because of that, but they like that.
Yeah.
And what they'll do is they want to get here. They want to get involved. They get into local politics, and then they'll meet, and where they came from, they were the most conservative, right? But then they get here and they're like, that's not what I'm, that's gross, quit it. So like, that's a little bit good for us as well, you know, in some ways.
What's the line? You know, death penalty for adultery?
It's like an old Benny Binion move along, you know? Oh man.
No, that does raise the question though, is like, where, like, didn't we have a lot of outsiders running for office the first time this year?
We've had a lot of, I see it here.
Outsiders. Sorry. Excuse me. Yeah. Like, I'm from Maine. And I'm saying outsiders. People from away.
Right. You know, and sorry also, about I don't think outsiders realize, like, you were raised on the Belfouche River. In and around the Belfouche River, if you're the third generation, you're still the new neighbors, right? So, like, that's a good point. I don't know where the line is. I think it's I think we could generally are a little too allergic to change as it is in West River, so pushing us in a direction one way or the other. I always look at it like this: like Sioux City and Sioux Falls in the 60s and 70s were generally the same community. And Sioux City went manufacturing and packing plants and agriculture, and Sioux Falls, because obviously state law differences, a little went banking, and Janklow got Citibank and Norwest and all of that, right? It really made a giant difference if you add 50 years to those communities. And so one of the things I think Rapids got to fight with is like that. Do we stay a prairie trading town in politics, or do we, you know, finally maybe join the real world? But there's some big ask to something like that. We're going to need a north-south interstate, mm-hmm. you know, that connects us to the rest of the world. You know, people move here, they don't understand, like, it's not like we've got Trader Joe's and nice Austin gas grocery stores, right? Like, it's they will think they're back to Papa Ingles loading the wagon on the Saturday.
Oh, I 100% agree. I think the number one thing we have to do is up the grocery store game. The grocery store game in Rapid is not good.
I appreciate you saying that. Right? We'll like, start to work on that. Yeah, a little.
I mean, like, that's number one. That's number one for me getting my wife out here for, you know, full time. And, you know, it's like you can't we're not Sioux Falls and we're not going to be.
I mean, yes.
So but we should be one step further, and we're going to get there. Like, you know, Bozeman's full. So where
they
got to
go somewhere.
Go
here, yeah. And, yeah. And that's just it.
Right. But if Spearfish gets a Whole Foods before Rapid, I'm going to be upset. What?
No, it's just that is the perfect West River joke. And if you don't know why that's funny, you don't understand us a little.
Sorry, East River.
So let's get back to your movie. So like, you make this movie, and like I've seen it a couple times. It's wonderful. And one of the things I'm always a little like, oh boy, that's scary, is like Baltic is a good example of. At the time, you think, well, Ted won. He won the coin. Okay, he's going to go be the mayor or the governor or whatever it is. And it's not really the problem. The problem is then 2 years later when there's the thing that happened, the COVID, the hurricane, the school shooting, the whatever the trigger is, right? And then this coin flip ding-dong is who we have to depend on. And that is what gets terrifying.
Yeah. Well, it delegitimizes them in some way, which is unfortunate because, you know, the political science people that I interviewed for the documentary would say, listen, if 50% exactly and 50% wanted the other guy, it's not going to be that much difference, right? One vote either way is not that much difference. The problem is when the press or somebody calls them the coin flip ding dong, that's when the delegitimization starts.
So it's
actually our fault, right? So if you think about it, it's not any less legitimate to play. Well, and you said rock, paper, scissors. I found a city council election in Colorado that played Ninja Bear Cowboy. And I bet you would love Ninja Bear
Cowboy. I'd love Ninja. What is Ninja Bear Cowboy?
So you stand back to back and you turn, you one, two, three, and you jump around. And it's Ninja Bear Cowboy.
Oh, you make the...
Right, so it's Ninja, the karate chops... Bear claws, cowboys, the two guns.
How did that become the thing?
It was two guys that ran against each other that knew each other, I guess.
Nice. Yeah, so it was funny.
And so it was funny. Okay. So they decided to do, instead of rock, paper, scissors,
that is
best
great.
Two out of three of Ninja Bear Cowboy.
So that was that your first movie that you made?
That
movie
was my
movie?
First
Is that something you want to continue to do?
I wrote a couple others earlier on that kind of went to film festivals and stuff like that. I wrote some narrative stuff. And I've been working on a gangster movie set in eastern South Dakota, which
cool.
would be kind of fun.
People forget this. Sioux Falls was generally started by Democratic land speculators in the 1850s, and basically all they did was lie to people for 40 years until enough people, there was more white people than Sioux Indians in Sioux Falls. That's basically how Sioux Falls got started.
Mm-hmm.
It's just gangster from top to bottom.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, right on. River Mafia. I like it.
Yeah, well, I just thought it'd be nice if you had like a one little South Dakota farming town that would just happen to be like a safe house.
Okay,
just
sure.
All gangsters, you know.
I like it.
And they just said, "Hey, they send you out there, and that's where you're at." So
I'd watch that movie.
Yeah, I think so.
I'd feel better about it more than Ties of Elections. At least, where can people see Win, Lose, or Draw Straws?
Oh, just streaming on any platform. Every platform's got it. You know, it was in, I think, 17 film festivals, but unfortunately, I didn't get to do any of those in person because it was all during COVID.
Oh, COVID. Oh, that's right. It was a COVID thing.
COVID thing. So I got, you know, I never got to do the Q&As. I never got to do all that, but I'm ready to do my next one, hopefully, as soon as I find something that tickles my fancy. But I think that although it's never going to be commercially successful, the like weird wrinkles of politics is something that I just like am very interested in. So I'm going to continue to do weird wrinkles of politics documentaries until, you know, even if nobody watches them. I just think they're awesome.
I think you're the right guy to tell the stories.
Right? Yeah, it's good.
His name is Casey Phillips. He is with the Herford Agency. Give the plugs out, man. Go to. There's people are someone listening to this is going to run for governor in South Dakota upcoming.
Good.
Give them a good plug.
Yeah. Well, my company is Herford Agency. It's herford.co. You can find us online, all of the social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera. So I'm Casey Phillips and at CW Phillips on Instagram. And I have a giant buffalo coat. And that's
what you're known for. It's like your trademark. Love that thing.
Well, there's a great picture of my great grandfather and his brother standing outside of their sod house in Hereford in front of a sled, like a sleigh pulled by horses. And they're both drinking some sort of brown liquor out of a unlabeled bottle, and they're both wearing buffalo coats. And I said, if I ever make anything out of myself, the first thing I'm getting is a buffalo coat.
So. Hey, can you tell the leg shooting story? Sorry. We'll end the show after this, but okay. It's just such a good story.
Well, I was home from college, and I was playing ball at Wyoming, and I was out riding around checking cows, and I had my 22 long rifle pistol on my hip just in case I saw a prairie dog
or
something.
Coyote or
coyote.
Yeah.
Well, coyotes, coyote. 22, but so I was out there and there was a prairie dog running around. I was like, okay. So I jump off the four wheeler. I pull out my great uncle's old 22 and I go to cock it. And my thumb is sweaty, I guess. And as right before it was able to snap, it just slipped off my thumb. And it set the charge off, and it went in just underneath my hip bone. It came out just on top above my knee, and then also went through my cowboy boot twice because the wrinkles in the boot. And I was like, "Oh damn, I'm hit!" Right? So
I'm hit,
right? But it just felt like a really hot, right? So I pulled my pants down. I was like feeling around, and then my finger just like goes into the exit.
Oh my goodness.
And I was like, oh my God, this is bad. So I sort of like get my four wheeler, go back to the house. My mom's an RN, and I walk in the house, and this is like family lore at this point. I walk in, I said, "Mom, don't freak out." But I just shot myself. And I don't know if – I think everyone has a mom, so they understand that no matter how you preface
– If you just say don't freak out, all that does is make her freak out. Yeah.
So she basically – we went and got the hydrogen peroxide. We put it in a syringe, and I was able to shoot it in the top hole and then just, like, move it down and get it out the bottom hole, bandaged it up, and I had football practice at Wyoming the next day. Drove back down to Laramie, went out there to practice, and it was getting stiff. Like it was kind of, you know, like it was a bullet hole.
Bullet hole, yeah.
The first, like it, of course, filled with fluid. And like the first time I got knocked down on that side, it just like went out both sides. So I had these two giant blood stains on my football pants. And the trainer like blows their whistle, right? Like, and they come running out and they're like, what in the heck is going on here? And I said, hey, sorry, I was back on the ranch, I shot myself. And the trainer said, you did what? I said, I shot myself. I'm sorry. You know? And so
Laramie, by the way, if you don't know, ain't filled with gun-toting cowboys. I mean, there's some there, but they're not on the medical staff, I would imagine.
No. But, you know, the fight song will tell you differently. Rootin' a tootin', son of a gun from Wyoming, ragtime cowboy Joe. So then they said, well, okay, so your stitches popped out. And I said,
no.
I didn't go to the hospital. And that was when they called the ambulance and sent me to the hospital. So besides, I still have great scars. I've been meaning to get a tattoo like Arizona Rob from the Biggie Small Song. Yeah. Nothing to lose tattooed around my gun wounds. Yeah. So you want to go get a tat? I'm in. Let's go.
I need a bullet hole to match maybe one day. If we stay in South Dakota politics enough, I guess.
Well, that'll happen here.
It's Casey Phillips. He's from the Hereford Agency and a dear friend. Check out all of his stuff and please watch his movie. And thanks for listening. It's been Dakota Town Hall. We'll see you guys next week. Have a great holiday weekend.
Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's weekly podcast. Episodes are available every Friday. For more information or to request availability, please go to dakotatownhall.com. Dakota Town Hall is presented in partnership with Home Slice Audio, produced by Leslie Klein. Music and audio production by Oakley Ty. Research by Home Slice Audio and Dakota Town Hall. Graphics by Timmy Grablander. Social media content by Scout Wheeler and website design by Trey Wynn. Editorial advisor and executive producer, Brad Murdoch-Jurgensen. Special thanks to all of our weekly guests. While we try to be accurate with all of our information, this show is recorded live and errors do occur. For corrections, please visit dakotatownhall.com. Hosted by Noah Grebel, Jake Schoenbeck, and Brad Murdoch-Jurgensen. Dakota Town Hall, another Home Slice Audio production.